It's time to catch the beat from Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. The views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. Tonight, I'm airing the first segment of the last and final panel of Summer of Solidarity, held on August 2, 2025 at Channing Murray Foundation. The panel is titled A More Perfect Union, Building the World We All Deserve. Panelists are Dr. Evelyn Underwood, representing the North End United, Professor Jay Rosenstein, who filmed In Whose Honor, the groundbreaking film about Chief Illiniwek and Native mascots on college campuses, Spencer Wilkin, founder of the UIUC Kingfisher Movement, to introduce a new mascot on campus, James Kilgore of First Followers, providing re-entry services to people who have just been released from incarceration, and Claudia Lenhoff, Executive Director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. The recording begins with moderator Amy Rickman, co-coordinator of the entire Summer of Solidarity program, followed by Claudia Lenhoff. The panel was recorded by Paul Muth. I thank him for sharing his files with me.
I'm Amy Rickman. I am a co-coordinator of the Summer of Solidarity, and I am so happy and honored to be with you here today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Summer of Solidarity panel, A More Perfect Union, Building the World We All Deserve. The Summer of Solidarity is a grassroots effort led by a coalition of people who love Champaign-Urbana. SOS celebrates our collaborative leaders who make us all stronger by putting people over profit, and it calls on all of us to stand together to challenge violence that targets, endangers, and criminalizes our communities. We want to thank our sponsors today, Dixon Graphics, which is a local union-run print shop that made all of our beautiful posters for us, and our t-shirts. Them. We want to thank Babu Studio with Annie Poppin, who designed the graphic for our Summer of Solidarity. We want to thank the Kranich Center for Performing Arts, who gave us funds that we spent at Dixon Graphics to make these notes of solidarity, and also Illinois Humanities. Today's panel brings together an intergenerational group of powerful organizers to discuss how we have worked together in this community to have anti-authoritarian grassroots movements that make Champaign-Urbana a more safe, more supportive, and more fair home for everyone while improving the world well beyond our boundaries. These community leaders and others in our community help to build a more perfect union as promised by our nation, where rights and justice are given to all. While doing this work, however, so many of them are unjustly forced to endure attacks for this very work, advancing inclusive democracy. Today, we will be hearing from some of these local leaders. But before we do so, I want to acknowledge that we are surrounded by so much wisdom at this panel, and I will introduce them shortly. But not all talented, wise, and strong members of our organizing family and community in Champaign-Urbana are here with us today. Everything cannot be achieved in a number of panels. An SOS is one grain of sand. We have said since the beginning of the Summer of Solidarity that it is our hope that in our panels, we catalyze many more public discussions that are free, that are cross-organizational, that are intergenerational, and that inspire and help our community do what's needed to remember our history, to love our neighbors, and do what we can to stand together and say no to thugs. We look forward to coming to your events in the future. So please, keep them going. We're the final Summer Solidarity panel for this year. We are so honored to have all of you join us. Everyone should have received notes of solidarity on their chair. This was designed by local artist Sarah Stone. Please write a note of support to one of today's panelists during the panel and give it to them at the end of the panel. If you don't feel comfortable going up to them, you could put it in the tote of note that artist Sarah Stone designed there, and we will make sure it gets to them. But part of community is meeting one another. So please go outside of your comfort area and share with them a note of appreciation at the end. Beyond that, please consider who's here in the room, who does community with you, and write them a note as well, so you could share appreciation. Before we begin, I want you to take a minute and introduce yourself to somebody around you who you have not met before. Just a minute, go. Introducing ourselves to one another is what we need to do from today on. Yes. We need to know one another. We are being given information about one another that is false and hateful to have us divide and have us hold misinformation about one another. We will not do it. Please meet your neighbors. Introduce yourself, not just today, but here on, from here on out. This is the new normal, and thank you for taking part in it.
Yeah.
Yes. We are so very fortunate today to have five skilled, seasoned organizers with us to talk about their work in our community. I will introduce them. They are not in order, so I will ask them to raise their hand, and I'll ask you to hold your applause to the end. Reverend Dr. Evelyn Burnett Underwood, JD, PhD, is a preacher, teacher, wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother, and a village keeper. Professor Jay Rosenstein is a Peabody Award-winning documentary filmmaker, emeritus professor of journalism and media and cinema studies at the U of I, and a musician. His 1997 documentary, In Whose Honor, is considered the seminal work on the subject of Native American sports mascots. And we will click, and we will hold a project. Spencer Wilkin is a UIUC physics alumna and also a current astronomy PhD student. Spencer is also founder of the Illinois Kingfisher Mascot Movement. James Kilgore is the director of advocacy and outreach for First Followers, a reentry program in Champaign County that offers support and advocacy for individuals returning home from prison. And Claudia Lena is the executive director and a community organizer with the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, a grassroots healthcare justice organization where she has worked for the last 28 years, leading community organizing campaigns to improve the community's health, for which she has been recognized as the Robert Wood Johnson Community Health Leaders Award. So let's get started. We have three questions that will be asked to everyone. We'll start with Claudia here. Please tell us about your work.
Good afternoon. So I'm the director at Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. And Champaign County Healthcare Consumers is a very unique grassroots citizen action organization. I don't mean citizen in the legalistic term, I just mean residents of our community. We do direct service, helping people with various public benefits and navigating the healthcare system. We do advocacy and we do community organizing. And our advocacy and community organizing is informed by what we see, the issues we see when we're doing the direct service with individuals. We fight against injustice, but we also work to create new resources and services in the community. So a lot of that second part of our work is not necessarily visible to the community, whereas the fighting injustice, like when we were fighting against medical debt and people going to jail because of medical debt, that was very public. But our work creating resources such as the Smile Healthy Dental Program and things like that, the countywide public health department, that's not necessarily as visible, and that's usually done in coalition with others. We follow a direct action organizing model for when we do organizing, and that is, it has three principles. A, give people a sense of their own power. So for example, when you teach people that they can go to a city council meeting or county board meeting and speak up, once they learn that skill, they're empowered with that skill and they'll get it, and many other examples like that. We also work to alter the relations of power That means that we want institutions or government or whoever it is working with us. So as an example, with the medical debt issue, we used to have to protest outside of our healthcare facilities to get attention. And finally, things transformed. We altered the relations of power so that now we have regular meetings and we work on changes together. And then the third principle is work to make concrete improvements in people's lives. Our battles are not ideological. They're informed by values and principles, but they are not ideological. They have to result in concrete improvements in people's lives. Our local work has impacted state and federal policies. And one example that I'll give is that, for example, our work around hospital accountability and medical debt and all that led us to work with the IRS during the creation of the Affordable Care Act. And there's actually a provision of the Affordable Care Act that requires nonprofit hospitals across the country to do community benefits and to give back in greater value than their tax exemptions to the community based on the community's needs. So that's actually written into the law, and that came about because of our work and the meetings that we were having with the IRS. Last thing that I wanted to mention is that when we work on healthcare policy, like around Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, the big bad budget bill, etc., we are connected to statewide and national organizations so that we have the best policy analysis and we are all pulling in the same direction, statewide and nationally. So when you take action, when we do a call to action and you participate in that, you can know that it's not just us in our community here doing this. We are actually part of a larger effort and a larger movement. And I will wrap up this section here. I'm always open to questions about specific campaigns or experiences like that.
Hello, thank you. I'm James Kilgore. I came to Champaign-Urbana 2009 to reunite with my family. I was on parole. I had been released from prison after spending 6.5 years there. And after that experience, I was determined to do something about mass incarceration since I kind of had an inside look at what it consisted of. It took me a while before I got my bearings, but by 2012, I helped form an organization called Build Programs Not Jails, and we see Chris Evans is wearing a t-shirt there. So our goal in that campaign was to stop the county from spending $20 million on jail upgrade, jail renovations, etc., etc. So we fought that off for 8 years until the county board finally caved in and used ARPA funds improperly to build that jail. That remains a scar in our community's landscape, but we learned from that. And in the course of that campaign, I worked with other people who wanted to find other ways to spend that $20 million besides the jail. So one of the ideas that we came up with during that period was to design a reentry program that would provide support for people coming home from prison. At that time, there was nothing. IDOC was giving people $10 when they got released, and that was it. And so in this community, there was nothing to help people, so I got together with Marlon Mitchell, with other people in the community, and we formed First Followers. And First Followers started as a drop-in center at Bethel AME Church. We had a little itty-bitty office and not much by way of resources, but we had a lot of ideas. And one of the ideas that we realized is that in order for us to be effective, we had to build an organization, not simply campaign on issues, not simply provide direct services, but we needed to build an organization of people who had been impacted by incarceration. And that's people who had experienced incarceration and people who had experienced a loved one being incarcerated and so forth. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary. So we've done a lot. I'm happy to acknowledge Charles Davidson as one of the people who's been with us almost since the beginning. We wear these t-shirts when we go out, when we go to the city council and county board and so forth. So I just want to talk about two of our projects that have succeeded. One would be the GOMAD program, which GOMAD stands for Go Make a Difference. So GOMAD is
targeted 18 to 24-year-olds, and we have trained those people. We give them some life skills, but we also train them in construction skills. So they've now renovated probably about a dozen houses in the community, which are now houses for low-income people, and that's in partnership with the city of Urbana and the city of Champaign and with the Housing Authority. The second project that I think is important for us has been a transition house called First Steps. So that came about as a result of us doing research. At Champaign-Urbana Days, we took our members, we call them peer mentors, they went out into the park and they interviewed people and they asked them if the needs of people coming home from prison were being met. And of course, Champaign-Urbana Days is primarily attended by black people in this community, and those are the people that are most impacted by mass incarceration. And of course they said no, of course the needs are not being met. And 85% of those people said that the authority should be providing housing for people coming home. So we took that, we wrote up that report into a document, we took it to city councils, we took it to faith-based communities, we took it to the Housing Authority, and eventually we got the Housing Authority to agree to give us the use of a house indefinitely, rent-free, and $20,000 to do the renovations in that. So we've been operating that since 2019. We've had about 14 people come through the house. We've only had one person go back to prison. Two people have been able to save money while they were in the house to buy their own house. And we've had three people that have come through that house who now work for First Followers. So we consider that to be a success. We have a lot more successes that I can talk about, and I do want to thank the people in the social justice community, the people in the black community, the people in state, city, county governments that have been supportive of us, because without their support we couldn't have succeeded, and also thanks to all of you who are here.
Please introduce me, Evelyn Underwood. I've been in this community for 72 years, ever since I was 10 years old. And I love this community. But seemingly, I've been fighting ever since I've been here. My kids told me, don't get up there and rambling like an old woman. So I just want to say I've been involved in so many organizations. I see so many people that work with me. Brother Stewart out there and Dr. Dolliner. And I don't want to name them. And my wonderful Dr. Guthrie. I always call Dr. Elaine, praise God. So many people, elders, Pastor Carr, and my WFT friend. But I'm going to go ahead. There's so much. I was going to talk about so many organizations that I'm a member of. My sons would get one and write about it and leave them. So I got one and I got three. My organization is called the North End United. And the genesis of the organization was people coming together to protect their neighborhood from a state-sponsored land grab via gentrification. The project called Hope Village is a collaboration of a misguided social experiment involving Carl Health, meaning Carl Hospital, that's what we know, and clinic, and the University of Illinois, UIUC, that we've been fighting for years and years. I got to go on. But I got a PhD from there, so. To build a tiny home for adult mental health residents. The project is in the black community, areas of Carver Drive, George Washington Carver. When they could live anywhere, he said, don't get into that. You would know what happened in this community. The Coleman organization showed in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s. In 52, they built George Carver, George Washington Carver Drive. And actors called Christmas actors. We couldn't live anywhere. Even the people from y'all, if you knew, you don't know that we had the Air Force Base. We even had some of the Bishop was the name of the folks. Yeah, no, I know the Air Force Base. I'm talking about who?
Tuskegee
Airmen. They were there. You know, I'm telling you, we have history. A lot of the people might be the Tuskegee Airmen. One was a next door neighbor to me. And he passed, but his wife and children still live there. So I'm saying they can live in a way. So we had to get some place, and there were all people in the community to help to do this. I don't have much time, so we go. Also, Dr. Martin Luther King Subdivision and Dr. Ellis Health Division where I live. The Ellis Drive 6 came from there. And I'm one of them that integrated through Alabama schools. And those are the areas that have historically housed black for over 70 years and gave them home ownership doing segregationally housed. All of that just had to come together in 2023 to form the coalition to fight for our rights. We want to promote the fact that it is not good for the homeowner and it's not good for the environmental impact upon the 6 acres of farmland that they're going to use for that. What can we do? We can, the 6 acres of farmland that can be used to plant crops. We need to feed people who face food scarcity and food poverty. This plan is not good for our constitutional rights by placing a quasi-institution in our neighborhood. Building in South Alabama, they had 18 different sites where they could do it. But no, we were the least vulnerable. Thank you.
The next speaker is Jay Rosenstein.
First, I just want to say what a great honor and pleasure it is to be up on this panel with these people, many of whom I've admired for many, many years. My name is Jay Rosenstein. I made the documentary in whose honor. I've been fighting for 30 years to try to rid this country of native sports mascots. But rather than talk about myself, which I'm quite bored of because I do it in my head night after night, I thought I would sing a song, if you don't mind. So what I did here is I took Woody Guthrie's most famous song and I rewrote the chorus. So I'm going to consider this the first co-write between me and Woody, but I don't think his family would want to hear it. As I went walking that river of a highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that lonesome valley. It's time to do what we must do. Let's lock up Trump. Let's lock up Trump. Because he's a traitor and a chump. Let's lock up Trump. Let's lock up Trump. Eric and Don, Jimmy too. I wandered rather and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was calling. It's time to do what we must do. Let's lock up Trump. Let's lock up Trump. Cause he's a predator and a chump. Let's lock up Trump. Let's lock up Trump. Ivanka and Giuliani too. One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, in the relief office, I saw my people. As they stood hungry, I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. Let's lock up Trump, let's lock up Trump, cause he's a liar and a chump. Let's lock up Trump, let's lock up Trump, Eric and Don Jr. too.
Howdy everybody,
hi.
I'm Spencer. I want to tell you a little bit about a very special bird. It feels a little different than I suppose music would be. So I guess to get started, I should not assume anyone here has heard of my very favorite, naturally true to the orange and blue, belted kingfisher. We've been in the news as of late. Some people love it. Other people love it even more. But I guess I should tell you a little bit about who I am and why I'm up here. My name is Vincent Wilk and I grew up on a chicken farm in southern Illinois. I came up here in 2016 as a very plucky, fiscal freshman. My high school doesn't send a lot of students to this school. As a matter of fact, I was the only one that graduated. There was one other, but he left. I grew up on a chicken farm and people would always ask me, how are the birds? How are your birds? You're getting a lot of eggs? And that question defined me for a really long time. I took a lot of pride in raising those chickens, and I still have chickens now, they're great. Now I have found that question to change to be, how is the bird? For those of you who haven't heard, what I am doing and what I've been doing for the last six years is taking a step in a direction that many people in this room did before I even got here. I'm just one of many flag bearers trying to address a problem we all recognize on our campus. And that is the big mascot-shaped void that has a lot of weight and shapes a lot of conversations that we see on this campus. And whenever I try to tell this story, I've stood in similar situations to this, and I've always found myself trying to find a good start date, and then being like, oh, well, before that, this actually happened, and then before that, this happened, and then actually before that, more things happened. But I'll give you a little bit of a good date that I picked on. So back in May of 2019, I drew a bird on the margins of a physics discussion paper. I was an okay student. I showed it to my friend. I'm like, hey, you know what's really cool about these birds? They're orange, they're blue. Actually, only the women has the orange. The ladybirds are the orange ones. Very rare in bird nature, if you are an ornithologist like me, accidentally. I'm like, you know, these live right here in Champaign. They are on Boneyard Creek. I've got pictures to prove it. I just thought there was something there. So I went to my other students, and this is where the fact that Champaign is what it is the only reason that this made it as far as it did. But I was lucky to find other enthusiastic students almost right off the get-go. I said, guys, look at this bird. And they're like, that's something cool. And now we get pictures with the chancellor and President Tim Killeen. So if you don't believe me, take it a brochure. We're really proud of this one. We have come so far since we started. We went from a student-made costume of friends that I made along the way to here we are with Chancellor Jones and President Killeen. And so I know we've been talking quite a bit about all the things we did today, but that was 6 years of going from a doodle on a side of a paper to taking a picture with the guy that we thought would be the last barrier in our way. And it turns out he really was kind of chill in the way that we speak today. But I have a lot of stories about all the things we've done and how we've gotten there. That was not a straightforward path, and it certainly wasn't something I could do alone. As a matter of fact, many of the faces in this room were instrumental in taking that bird from a doodle to a actual living bird costume. That's actually not a real bird. Sorry to break the hearts. There's a team of students to take it as far as it's gone.
That wraps up the first segment of the panel, A More Perfect Union, Building the World We All Deserve, the fifth and final of the conversations offered a summer of solidarity in Champaign-Urbana in August 2025. And that ends our time for this week's Catch the Beat. I'll air the second and third segments on August 20th and 27th. All shows, along with the first two panels, will be archived on WEF.org under Public Affairs, along with all previous episodes of Catch the Beat. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I send a shout out and thanks to Paul Muth, inveterate recorder of local events for WEFT, who recorded this panel. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org, a proud supporter of the Summer of Solidarity. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time.